back into the flow, again, the Mishnah introduces the concept of Malon Hamutal B'Safek Cholken, that according to Sumchus, if money is in a situation of Safek, a situation of doubt, so then the two parties, each of whom has a claim to the money, divide the money, each get 50%. So the Mishnah talked of two cases, both dealing with a pregnant cow. One is the question when we have a safek about the money based on not being sure who was damaged or what was damaged. And the other, we have a safek about the money because we're not sure what the damager was. In other words, if an ox gores a pregnant cow, witnesses saw the ox attack the cow, but it was at a distance. So they didn't see exactly what was going on. Then they got closer, then they find that there's a dead cow and there is a dead fetus. So there, now there's a suffix. Maybe the cow was killed after it had given birth to a stillborn calf. And so the dead fetus has nothing to do with the damage here. Or maybe the cow produced the stillborn calf after it was attacked by the ox, or because it was attacked by the ox, more accurately. And so there was both damage to a cow as well as damage to a fetus. So the Mishnah says, the cow that we know was damaged by the ox, the owner of the ox has to pay 50% of the cow. For the fetus that we don't know what happened, we have a suffix, so the owner of the ox only has to pay a quarter of the value of the fetus. That was the first case of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah had a second case. What happens if it's not the bull goring the cow, it was a pregnant cow or a cow that gored a bull? And now we see, again, we weren't so close, we couldn't see exactly what was happening. We get close, we see that there's, let's say, a dead bull because the cow attacked him. But next to the dead bull, there is both a cow as well as a calf. So now the suffix is, was it a calf? Did the calf give birth first and then gore? So then the calf wasn't part of the damager. Or did the calf gore? Did the cow gore and then give birth, and therefore the calf, which was part of the cow, was part of the damager? So the Mishnah said here too, the owner of the cow has to pay 50% because we know it caused damage. It was a tam. The calf, which we don't know, maybe it was part of the damage because maybe it was inside the cow, maybe it wasn't part of the damage, maybe it was already outside of the cow. So the calf owner pays a quarter. So that's what the Mishnah said. So let's see the Gemara now at the two dots. So too, if a cow gores an ox, the owner of the cow which we know did something pays 50%. The ox, Paul's on the line. The ox that we don't know, the calf that we don't know, only pays a quarter. So the Gemara says it makes no sense. Chatzi nezek or via nezek. You're going to pay a half of the damage plus a quarter of the damage? I understand. Pal ganizka hu d'bayi shlumi. The obligation should be for half of the damage, because that's what happened. You had a ox damaged by a cow, damaged by a tam. You pay half damage. I understand. Kuli nizka nechiriva mayavidite. What are you doing here with 3/4 of the damage? Why is the owner of the ox getting 3/4 of the damage here? So Amar Abaye, Abaye explained. And the Mishnah says that the owner of the cow pays chatzi nezek, it pays half of the damage. It doesn't really mean half of the damage. It means echad me'arba b'nezek. It really means 1/4 of the damage. When it says half of the damage, it means half of the damage that he should have been guilty of. He should have been guilty, he should have been obligated in half, and 50%, half of that is 1/4. Revia Nezek, when the Mishnah says the calf pays 1/4 of the damage, what it means is Echad Mishmona Benezek. It really means 1/8 of the damage. When it says 1/4, it means 1/4 of what he should have had to do. The calf, the calf should have been guilty, we would think of 50%. Now, only 1/4 of 50%. What's 1/4 of 50%? 1/4 of 50% is actually 1/8 of the total damage. Now, if the cow and the calf both belong to the same person, Achanami d'matziyamar leilu baal para, the owner of the ox could tell the owner of the cow. Who cares what it was? Whether the calf was born first or the calf wasn't born. Either way, your property damaged mine. You owe me half. What's the case? The cow belongs to one person, and the calf belongs to someone else. So the owner of the cow, really you have two partners here in the damage, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, the owner of the cow, is the damager, and Shimon, the owner of the calf, is maybe the damager. So Reuven pays his part, which is a half of half, because we're talking about a tam here. So he pays 25%, and Shimon, who says maybe my calf damaged, but maybe it didn't damage, only pays half of the half. So he only pays, he pays a quarter of the half. Instead of paying half of the half, he pays a quarter of the half, which is in total an eighth. Now the Gemara adds another, you know, aspect to the scenario. Idekadim tav elebal paratchila. If the owner of the ox first went to the owner of the cow and said, your cow damaged my ox, there are witnesses who saw it, you need to pay me 50% because your cow is a tam. So hachanami damar lele baal para. Right, if you first went to the owner of the cow, he could say to the owner of the cow, paradidach haziktan, your cow damaged us. Avli rayad islach shutfi. You need to prove that the calf was in the cow at the time of the damage for you to not have to pay me the full 50%. Because witnesses saw your cow attacking my ox. You're claiming, yeah, my cow attacked your ox, but my cow was pregnant and the baby inside belonged to somebody else. So that person's also a partner of the damage. Prove it. I don't know that that's the case. You don't know that that's the case either. You can't prove it. Nobody can prove it. Witnesses didn't see that. Witnesses saw your cow attacking my ox. So you need to pay me. You have a problem. You go try to collect half from the other guy if you can prove it. And that would work. Ella, so what's the case? The owner of the ox first went to the owner of the fetus. Tchila. First, and he said, you need to pay me because your fetus damaged my ox. So he says, I'm not sure my fetus damaged your ox. I didn't see anything. Witnesses didn't see that either. We don't know. My fetus maybe was born before your ox got damaged. Then he goes to the owner of the cow. So now, the owner of the cow can tell him, Galus adaitach, by your very behavior, you have demonstrated to Shutfa Isli, that you believe that the owner of the calf was also, the owner of the fetus was also a partner. You are basically saying that there were two who damaged you. Okay, so basically you're only asking for a quarter from me. Fine, I'll give you my quarter. The other guy, you go to the owner of the fetus for that. So then, once he already had approached the owner of the fetus, he can't say, oh, it's the responsibility of the owner of the cow to figure it out with the owner of the fetus. Because he went to the owner of the fetus. So he basically is conceding to the owner of the cow that the fetus was involved. So he now needs to, he only can prove from the owner of the cow, he can only get a quarter. The owner of the fetus, he wanted to get the other quarter. The owner of the fetus can say, I don't think I was involved. So it's Maman Amutla Basafik. He only gets half of the quarter. He only ends up getting an eighth. That's one explanation of the Mishnah.
So, Rabbi, do we hold that a fetus is culpable in a situation that the way that we're discussing right now?
Yeah, we're going to see that.
Is it only for an animal or for a human as well?
Yeah, it's part. According to this opinion in the Gemara, a fetus is part of the body of the mother. So it's the same as the mother. It's like any other organ within the mother.
So how could the fetus kill somebody? I don't understand that. Okay.
Well, it was inside the cow. The cow killed, so it also killed.
So it becomes a part of the...
of the cow.
It's a GPS.
GPS, okay.
It's part of the cow. It's part of the same entity.
The fact that the owner of the cow accepted to pay the damages, is Is that now make him a witness to the owner of the fetus?
No.
That, no, because he's accepted. So
doesn't matter. He wasn't there. He didn't see. Ikadami, another explanation. Even if the owner of the ox first went to the owner of the cow, the owner of the cow can shunt him off to the side. Damarle, he can tell him, I know the shutfa isli. I'm sure that my cow was pregnant at the time that it damaged your ox. I'm sure that the owner of the fetus is also partially responsible. I'm only going to give you a quarter of the damage. And he could do that. Amar Rava. So Rava now said, I don't agree with this whole explanation of the Mishnah. Did the Mishnah say that there is 1/8 and 1/4 of a payment? That's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah spoke about half damages and a quarter of the damages. Chatzi nezek revia nezek katani. Elam Rava, so Rava gave a different explanation for the Mishnah. La'olam b'paro v'lad d'chad. Really, we're dealing with where one man owns a cow, he also owns the fetus inside of his cow. So now you'll say to me, I don't understand. The owner of the ox is going to get now 3/4 of the damage because there was a fetus involved. He should only get half of the damage. The case is like this. What the Mishnah is saying is like this. A tam only pays migufo. A tam pays damages from the body of the tam. The Torah says, "Umachruas ashor achai, v'chatzuas kaspo." We had the view of Rabbi Akiva, who said that when an animal, which is a tam, an innocent animal, gores, the damaged party, yuchlat ashor, becomes automatically a partner in the body of the tam. The tam pays from its own body. So what happens if the body's not here? Then you won't get any payment. Because it's not that there is a monetary obligation on the owner of the tam. There is something in the body. If the body is gone, let's say he takes the body and he puts it in a swamp, so then we couldn't collect. So that's what's going on here. V'achi karmina, this is what we're saying. Isa lepara, if the cow would be around, yeah, of course, then the cow we know damaged, and the fetus maybe did, maybe didn't. Doesn't matter. The fetus belongs to the same guy as the owner of the cow. So this belongs to the cow owner. So mishtalim chatzi nezek mipara. If the cow has the value, so the cow, which certainly damaged, witnesses saw the cow jumping on the ox. If the cow's value is equal to half of the value of the ox, so we'll go collect from the cow half of the value of the ox. That's the typical law of tam. What did the Mishnah mean? Less a leparav. Let's say the cow is not around. The cow damaged my ox, but now the cow is in a swamp. The cow's not around, but the fetus is around. The fetus is around. The calf is around. So I go to the owner of the cow and fetus. I say, hey, all right, pay me for what you did to my ox. He says, my cow did something to your ox. It's not around. I say, okay, your fetus also did something to my ox. He says, I'm not sure my fetus did something to your ox. Prove it. You can't prove it. There were no witnesses who saw the fetus. So I'm the fetus. It's a suffix. So therefore, he only pays a quarter. Had the cow been around, he would have paid the half, because then we know. Then he pays a quarter from the Vlad. So that's the way to read it. So we have here an argument between Abaye and Rava how to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that when we know that a cow damaged, but we have a suffix about whether the fetus damaged, so the cow pays 50%, the fetus pays 25%. So what do you mean? The damaged guy's going to get 75% suddenly? So you had Abaye's explanation. No, when it said 50%, it means 50% of 50%. It really only means that the cow owner pays 25%, and the owner of the fetus pays 12.5%. A total of 37.5% get paid. That was Abaye's explanation. And Rava's explanation, the way to read the Mishnah is, the guy who owns the cow also owns the fetus. What the Mishnah is saying, if the cow is around, he pays 50%. If the cow's not around, since there's a suffix whether or not the fetus was mazik, so he would only get 25% from the fetus.
The fetus would have to be separate from the animal to be considered not like its own body, right? So they didn't see it. What's even the conversation? Why is it even a suffix? You didn't see it. You saw one other animal.
you're right that there's a chazaka de meikara. There was an original chazaka that the fetus was inside the cow. But when we actually get to the spot of the damage, the there is a fetus out. The little animal's there. So now we have a suffix. When was it born?
So another one, the baby is liable for parents? Is that what it comes from? The baby?
No, the baby is in the parent. The baby did it too. If the baby was in the parent, the baby did it as well. The baby did it as well. So the Gemara now points out the point that everybody's been discussing. Taima, the whole reason why we're saying that the fetus is going to pay a quarter. Delo yadina ani hava vlad bahada ki nagcha yilo hava. Because we don't know whether the fetus was still inside at the time of the goring or it was already out. Avali pshitel on the hava vlad bahada. But if we would know for sure that the fetus is inside of the cow, ki nagcha, if the cow gores, and now the cow's not around, but the fetus is around, mishtalim kule chatzi nezek mivlad, you'd end up getting the full half of the damage from this calf. So why is that? So the Gemara explains, Rava l'tame, this is Rava l'shitaso. Dama Rava, Rava said, para shehizika. If a cow damages and it is pregnant, and then after the damage it gave birth, and the cow's not around, gova mivlada, you can collect the damage from the fetus, from the child, from the calf. My time or why? Gufahi, because Rava feels that when you have a pregnant entity, whether it be a mother or a cow, so the baby inside is part of the body of the mother. It's the same as the mother itself. It's the body of the mother. It is the mother. It is the mother. So the same way the mother had to pay, it has to pay. So if the mother's not around, now it has to pay the whole thing. You wouldn't say that, let's say the short tom damages, and then the owner of the short tom slaughters it and cuts it up into pieces. And the right thigh of this cow is very expensive. It's worth $100. It's worth what the damage was. So it certainly you can collect from the right thigh. We wouldn't say, oh, the right thigh is only 10% of the animal. It only is responsible for 10% of the damage. No, we say, the animal is the animal. All the parts of the animal are fully responsible. So the fetus, according to Rava, is part of the animal. Since it's part of the animal, it's fully responsible for what the animal did. If the mother is no longer around, but the fetus is here, the fetus, if it was part of the mother, at the time of the damage, has the full responsibility. So that's the way he's explaining the Mishnah. The fetus would have been fully responsible if it was part of the mother. We just don't know if it was part of the mother, because it may have been born already. So therefore, it only is part of its responsibility. It pays 25%.
Rabbi, God forbid a pregnant woman shoots somebody and kills somebody. All right? Now you're telling me that the baby inside her,
according to Rava,
is guilty? Is a pregnant murderer?
Woman,
the baby?
Pregnant woman would be put to death, right? Because the baby's part of the mother.
Now, what about the baby?
They would not wait for the mother to give birth.
They don't wait to give birth. They don't wait to give birth. The pregnant woman would be put to death. It's part of her body at this point.
At this point, so the baby is guilty already.
At this point, according to this, right?
Wow. But the minute the baby is born, it's
then it's a separate entity. Yeah. Yeah. Question. Right.
It's part of the mother.
Also good. Also good point.
He wants the fella, the ubar, to pay. It cannot go both ways. If the ubar has to pay, he needs a shechita too. It's not the, it cannot be make.
Why? No, on the contrary. The law of Ben Pekua, that the slaughtering of the mother works for the child inside. It's also the same idea, because the child inside is part of the body of the mother. So the slaughtering works for it.
It goes together.
That's where it comes from, that if a kid, his mother is Jewish, he's Jewish?
No, that we saw was a pasuk. That was a Masechet Yevamah, it's a separate pasuk. However, Rava said, Tarnagola Shehizika, if a chicken damages, and then it gives birth to an egg, ain't a government beitzasa. You can't collect from the egg. In other words, why? My time appears should be almu, because the egg is something separate. Now, there are different explanations of why, but one idea is what Izzy said, that I think the Meiri says this, that an egg doesn't have, you know, it's not like a, it's not like a fetus. It doesn't have a heart or any of that stuff. It's something separate. It's like excrement or urine. It's like something, it doesn't have life to it, the egg. So the egg is not considered part of the mother, and therefore, if the mother damages the egg that's right, that's born right afterwards, you couldn't collect from the egg. The egg is something.
But the rabbi mentioned earlier that if there is a tie of the one piece of the cow, it is still going to be.
Yeah, because that's considered part of the, that was part of the cow. This is something separate.
Completely separate.
Doesn't the fact that the egg hatched ultimately prove it wasn't just a secretion?
It didn't hatch.
So I'm saying the fact that an egg, you know, Derech HaTeva will eventually turn into a chicken proves
that
it's not just
that's exactly
a discharge.
Question.
Then it's something, but now it's just a discharge. At this point, it's just a discharge. It could be developed further. Good. Another halacha now from Rava. Going back to the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was where an ox gores a cow, but we don't know whether when the ox gored the cow, it gored the cow and the fetus, or it gored the cow and the fetus had already been born dead. So how do we evaluate damages of a fetus? Amar Rava, Rava said, "Ein shama lepara bifnei atzma v'levlad bifnei atzma." We don't evaluate the damage of a fetus on its own, because that would be very expensive. We don't say, okay, what's a cow worth and what's the fetus worth? Ela shaman levlad al gabe para. We evaluate the fetus within the cow. In other words, we say, what's a pregnant cow worth while pregnant, and what's it worth now that it doesn't have the pregnancy? Shim iyata omer king, because if you would evaluate the cow on its own and the fetus on its own, nimtzata makchish hasamazik, you'd end up causing a lot of damage to the damager. You'd have to pay more money. The same is true when we make the evaluation of how much a damager needs to pay who cut off the hand of his friend. We don't say, okay, let's evaluate what a hand is worth. We don't say, how much would a person charge to be able to let somebody else cut off his hand? Because that would be a huge amount of money. Rather, we look at the whole person. We say, how much is this whole person worth with a hand, and how much is he worth without a hand?
Rabbi, one is temporary, the other isn't. Pregnancy is temporary. The cutting of the hand is permanent.
Right?
Huh?
We thought of Paul.
Yeah, Paul's on, yeah. Well, what's the question?
One is the pregnancy is temporary condition of changing of the value because it it changes after a while.
Yeah.
It's not, but the other one is for good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
true.
No difference.
No, we're saying, but in this point that we're trying to make here, that Rava was making, that the evaluation of what the damage is less than what it could have been, that you're seeing in both cases, that we're not trying to find the most expensive way of figuring out what the damage was. It's actually a less expensive way of figuring it out. We're going to see later in the Masechta. We have the same when it's in regards to an animal that eats a bush in somebody else's field. We don't say, how much is the bush worth? Because then it would be worth a lot. But we say, how much was the field worth with the bush, and how much is the field worth without the bush? Now the bush is worth less. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, I don't understand this law. Idinahu, if based on fairness, we should have the higher evaluation. Let's just look at what the fetus is worth. That's the fair thing to do. So likchos mazik. So let's mess up the damager. What do we care that it's going to be more expensive? He deserves to lose more. Let him lose more. So the Gemara says, no, the fairness is really to have the evaluation in a way where the damage is not so much money. Mishum d'amarle, because the damager can tell him, para ma'abarta aziktach, what I damaged in the worst case scenario was a pregnant cow. So para ma'abarta shamaynalach, what I will evaluate for you is a pregnant cow. How much was it worth before my ox got involved? And how much is it worth now that my ox did get involved and maybe killed it or maybe damaged it, but either way caused it to lose the pregnancy? That's the fair evaluation. So Gemara now says, Pshita, it's obvious. Para dechadu vlad dechad. In the case where my ox jumped on a cow, we don't know if my ox killed just the cow or my ox killed the cow and the fetus. If the cow belongs to one person and the fetus to someone else, and we have to make this evaluation, so we said that we make the evaluation not of the fetus independently, but we evaluate the fetus based on what it's worth within the cow, then we make these evaluations, pitma, the fact that the cow was fatter when it had the fetus, and now it's less fat, that's labal para. That's a gain to the owner of the cow, because even though the fetus is contributing to the fat, it's fat within the cow. The cow is what's fatter because of the fetus. Nafchamai, what about the added value of the cow because it looks bigger? When there's a fetus in it, it looks bigger. When there's a fetus out of it, it looks smaller. So who shares in that value? Rav Papa Amar Labal Para, that value also goes to the owner of the cow. Rav Acha Bar Ravika Amar Cholkin, that's a value that's divided between the owner of the cow and the owner of the fetus. Vehilchasan, that point that you could sell it for more because it looks bigger, that value, Cholkin, is divided between the owner of the cow and the owner of the fetus. And in this case, where there's a suffix, so in that value, half of it would go to the owner of the cow, and only a quarter would go to the owner of the fetus. They had, I guess, they had people who could assess, you know, how much more would you get because it looks fat, how much less is it worth now because it looks thinner.
The owner of a cow, how could it be different than the owner of the fetus?
He sold the fetus. No, he sold the fetus.
Or he sold the baby already.
He went to Kim. Kim bought the fetus. He bought the futures.
Futures. I told you not to do that.
You like a fresh cow. Yeah.
I'm coming to collect. Don't worry.
Next Mishnah. The next Mishnah introduces the concept of trespassing and the fact that when somebody trespasses on the property of somebody else, so the very fact that he's in that other person's property without permission means that if his stuff damages that other person, he's responsible. And if the other person's stuff damages his stuff, the other person is not responsible because his stuff had no right to be there, right? If you bring in your stuff into my house without permission, you bring in, I don't know, a container of milk without any permission, and my cat eats your milk, I'm not responsible. You should never have put your milk into my house. We'll see, maybe not, but presumably. Okay, the Mishnah. Hakadar sheichnis, the food might be different, but we'll see. Hakadar sheichnis kderos of lechatzer balabayas. Let's say a person, a potter, brings pots, earthenware pots, into the courtyard of someone else. Reuven brought his pots into Shimon's courtyard. Shalom bershus, he never asked Shimon permission. He just put stuff down in Shimon's courtyard. Vishavra behemto shel balabayas, and Shimon's ox who's walking around in the courtyard, it breaks the pots. So potter, Shimon doesn't have to pay. If Shimon's ox gets damaged by Reuven's pots, Balak deros chayiv, Reuven has to pay for the damage to Shimon. But if Shimon told Reuven, whenever you need to, you can go put your pots into my courtyard. Or, you know, today I know you have a lot of pots. It's hard for you to carry them. You can put them in my courtyard. And then my animal, Shimon's animal, damages Reuven's pots. Chayiv. So then Shimon is responsible for the damage. That's case number one. Case number two is food. Hichnis peiros of lechatzer balabayis shelo birshus. Reuven put his grain or his fruits into the domain of Shimon without Shimon's permission. V'achaltan behemto shel balabayis, and Shimon's animal eats up the fruit. So patra, Shimon doesn't have to pay because Reuven had no right to put the fruit in his house. Imuska ben, if Shimon's animal gets damaged by the fruit, balapeiros chayev, so Reuven is now responsible for the damage. But if he had permission to bring in the fruits, then Balachatzer Chayiv, the owner of the courtyard, is responsible for the damage that his animals do to the people whom he invited into his house. Case number three. If Reuven brings his ox into the domain of Shimon without permission, then and Shimon's ox scores Reuven's ox. Oh, or Shimon's dog bites Reuven's ox. Potter, Shimon doesn't have to pay because Reuven had no right to be in Shimon's domain. Nagachu shorosh balabayis. But if Reuven's ox gores the ox of Shimon, and Reuven's ox had no permission to be there, chayiv, so then Reuven has to pay. If Reuven's ox falls into Shimon's well and it ruins all the water in the well, chayiv, so Reuven has to pay for the damage to the well. If Shimon's father or son are in the well and Reuven's ox that's in the courtyard without permission falls into the well and kills Shimon's father or Shimon's son, Nishalim is hakofer. If it did it already three times, this is the fourth time doing it, the Reuven who owns his ox and put his ox there without permission would have to pay the kofer payment. However, v'michnas b'shus, and if Shimon gave permission to Reuven to bring his ox into his courtyard, then balachatzer chayiv. Then if Shimon's ox or Shimon's dog damages Reuven's ox, Shimon has to pay. Rabbi says, b'kulon eino chayiv. In all of them, he doesn't have to pay. Achiyakabal of lishmar. Unless not only did he say that you could come in, so you can come in and I will watch your objects. I'll make sure that they don't get damaged. Apparently, Rebbe holds, if somebody says you can come in, that doesn't mean you can come in and I'll watch your stuff. It just means you're allowed in, but you're responsible to watch your own stuff from getting damaged from my property when they are in my courtyard. All these three cases, whether it was pots without permission. Yeah, the case of Rishut. They're arguing about what is the meaning of permission. No, there's an argument here. What is the meaning of permission? Does permission mean you can bring things in, but you're at your own risk? Or does permission mean you can bring things in and I'm going to watch them for you? Says the Gemara, Taima, why do we say that if the potter puts his pots in the courtyard of Shimon and Shimon's ox gets damaged, Tishalo Birshus, if he did it without permission, then he has to pay for Shimon's ox, Ha Birshus, but if he had permission to bring his pots into Shimon's courtyard and Shimon's ox gets damaged, Lo Mechayiv Bal Kderos Beniske Behemtu Debal Chotzer. Then the owner of the pots would not be responsible for the damage to Shimon's ox. And we don't say, Kibule Kabil Bal Kederos Tintirusa de Behem to the Bal Chatzer. We don't say that when that guy gave me permission to bring my pots into his courtyard, I'm accepting to guard my pots to make sure that they don't damage his stuff. So money, what's that? That's Rebbe. So Amaru said, Kol Bestama, if we haven't had an explicit discussion about watching from damage, lo kibul alei netiruse. We don't assume that someone has accepted to watch from damage. So fine. He told me I could bring my pots into his courtyard. So I'm bringing my pots in. I never said I'm going to watch my pots, though. I'm not saying I'm going to watch his stuff. I'm bringing my pots in. But then Ema Seifa, read the end of the Mishnah. Im ichnis birshus, if he gave me permission to bring in my pots, Bal Chatzer Chayit, then he is responsible if his ox damages my pots. One second, he never said, bring in your pots and I'll watch them. He just said, bring in your pots. So I saw the Rabbanan. So that's according to the Rabbanan's Amri, you say that Bistama Nam, even when there hasn't been an explicit statement that I'm going to protect you, Kibule Kabila Lovnitiruse, a person is accepting to protect the other person. So we have a contradiction.
No, Rabbi Yehuda is saying if he didn't say he's not. So Rabbi Yehuda is...
Rebbe says that you're only responsible if you say explicitly that I'm going to watch, right? That you're going to watch. So here you have a contradiction. The suin further, Rebbe Omer, the Mishnah goes on. Rebbe says, "Bekulan eino chayiv." In all these cases, whether it be pots or fruits or oxen, you're not responsible. At yikabel ala balabayis lishmor, the owner of the house is not responsible unless he explicitly says, "I'm going to watch your stuff that you're bringing in." But if he just said, "You can bring stuff in," he's not responsible for the stuff. So we want to understand. Reisha the Sefer Rabbi Mitziyasa Rabbanan. The beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi. The end of the Mishnah is Rabbi. The middle is the view of the Rabbanan. Reb Zera said, yes, Tavra, break it up. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. The beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi. The end of the Mishnah is Rabbi. The middle is the Rabbanan. Rav Amar Rava said, no, Kula Rabbanani. The whole Mishnah is following the view of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan are of the opinion that when a person gives somebody else permission to bring in stuff, not only does that mean he's giving him permission to bring them in, he's also saying he's going to watch them. But Shmiras Kederos Kibel Allah Balachotzer Vafilu Nishbu Baruach. There is a difference between the owner of the pots and the owner of the courtyard. When the owner of the courtyard says, you can bring in the pots, he's saying, you bring in your pots, and I will watch your pots. But the owner of the pots, when he's saying, the owner of the pots is bringing things in, he's bringing things in. He's never accepting to watch the owner of the courtyard stuff. He's bringing things in. So, when the owner of the courtyard says, you can bring in your pots, he's saying, I'm going to watch your pots. And if there'll be any type of damage based on negligence, I'm responsible. So if my animal damages your pots, I'm responsible. On the other hand, the owner of the pots, he's not saying he's going to watch his pots. He's just saying, fine, thank you for letting me bring in my pots. He's not saying, I'm going to watch your stuff. And therefore, if he had no permission and he's bringing in pots without permission and the animal gets damaged by his pots, he has to pay for the animal. But if he had permission to bring his stuff in, he didn't accept any responsibility. He's just bringing stuff in. And therefore, if the animal gets damaged, he wouldn't pay for the animal.
What happens if in the meantime, Shimon that promised to take, watch his animal in the back dies? Okay?
Yeah.
Now, and that animal damages something or gets damaged or whatever. Okay, so who is there to prove now to,
I don't know. It's an interesting question. Maybe did he tell his children what his responsibilities were? Then the Mishnah spoke about a second case. Hichnis peirosav lochatzer balabayis. If Reuven brings his fruits into Shimon's courtyard, and so the same thing, if he did it without permission and Shimon's animal eats the fruits, so Shimon is exempt. If Shimon's animals get hurt by the fruit, Reuven has to pay. If he had permission to bring in the fruit, then Shimon would have to pay if his animal ate the fruit. Amar Rav said, Lo Shanu, when we talk here about the fruits and the damage, it's not about eating. Ela Shehuch L'Kabahen. We're talking about where the animal slipped on the fruit. Then the owner of the fruit has to pay for the damage to the animal when the fruits were there without permission. Avol Achla. But if Reuven puts his fruits into Shimon's courtyard without permission, and Shimon's ox eats Reuven's fruit, and then it gets a stomachache, Potter. Reuven does not have to pay for the stomachache of Shimon's ox. My timer, why? Havale shalotochal. It should never have eaten. The animal should not have eaten so much to get a stomachache. It ate too much. It should have controlled itself. So the person who put the fruit in there, he didn't know that the animal was going to eat so much. So therefore, he is not responsible. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, this is crazy. Amina, I said, Kinayim v'shachiv Rav Amar La'ishmaita. Rav must have been sleeping or dozing when he said such a thing. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa. Hanosin samam avas lefnei behemas chaveiro. If a person puts a poison in front of his friend's animal, he puts, let's say, poisonous grass in front of his friend's animal, and the friend's animal eats the grass and dies. Pater medini Adam, he's exempt from the laws of man, v'chai medini shamayim, but he's guilty in the laws of heaven. Salama v'esu de lo avida da'achla. When he puts a poison, it's not normal for the animal to eat it. Avol peros, but fruits, avida da'achla. It's normal for the animal to eat it. Then medini Adam nami machai. Then he's obligated in the laws of man too. Now, according to what you just said, havalesh lo tochal, he should have said, well, I didn't expect the animal to eat so much. Hamri, so they said in the yeshiva, who adin, really the lawyers, afilu peiros, nami pacha medini adam. Even if you would put fruits in front of an animal, and the animal eats the fruits and gets hurt, you would be accepting the laws of man, because according to Rav, he could have expected the animal wouldn't overeat. How come Ashmon? So why did the case talk about poison? It's to teach you. Even if what was put in front of the animal was a poison that the animal normally doesn't eat, but morally he still has to pay. B-boy, same alternative, I can tell you, when we talk about a poison, we're talking about grasses of poison. And since we're talking about grass of poison, it doesn't look like a poison. It looks like a grass. That's the type of things that animals will eat. And even though it's something that animals will eat, we say you're exempt in the laws of man because havalish lo tochal. You shouldn't have eaten so much. And so you're only obligated in the laws of heaven. Meisve, I'll ask you a question we learned in a braisa. Let's say a man has a mill and a woman comes in with grain to grind the grain in front of the mill. Shalom b'shus, but the mill was closed. She came in without permission. And the owner of the mill, his animal eats the grain. Patri doesn't have to pay because she had no right to bring the stuff in. Vim huska, and if the animal got hurt by this sweet, chayeves, the woman has to pay. So one second, that's against Rav. Amai, why don't you say name avalish lo tochal? The animal shouldn't have eaten so much to have gotten hurt. Amri, so the Gemara said, umi adif masnisin. Is that rice any better than the Mishnah? Do kim the kishuch l'kabahen, where we said that the animal got hurt by slipping on the fruits? Maybe here too, the animal gets hurt by slipping on the wheat. The Gemara said, the karila my karila. What was the havamina to ask the question? Amalachas, he'll tell you, Bishma masnisin, imhus kabahen, shuch l'kabahen. The Mishnah there said, in our Mishnah, talks about if it got damaged by the fruits. That sounds like if it slipped on it. Avalacha katani imhuska, avalo katani bahen. But here it says if the animal was damaged, right after it said, Achel san behemtan, after it said that the animal ate it. He didn't say if it got damaged in them. So it doesn't sound like it was damaged by slipping on them. Achilu de katani. Talking about eating. So the other one, the answer is, Amalacha lo shna, there's no difference whether it says, huska or huska behen. Either way, it means that it slipped, because if it would have been that it ate, it would have been exempt, according to Rav. There isn't liability to the owner of the fruit, because according to Rav, havalesh lo tochal, the animal shouldn't have eaten so much to get hurt by the food.